When we think of what generosity means, we think of giving. What if it means giving ourselves to interconnectedness? What if generosity is about opening to hope? When I was a kid growing up Catholic, I remember getting a box of little envelopes. In my memory, it's a greenish and white little box filled with greenish little envelopes. I was supposed to use those envelopes every Sunday. I was supposed to put money in them and then put one in the collection basket as it came around. The point of this wasn't so that I could feed a greedy congregation the spare change that my parents gave me to put in the envelope. The point of this was that so my brother and I felt connected to the rest of the congregation. My parents had a box of envelopes too. They and all the other adults put their envelopes in the basket every Sunday, and now so did I. This giving was about community and connection. It wasn't just about giving. Giving can be more than giving. It can be generosity and connection and hope. It is said that a preacher tends to have just one sermon that they preach over and over again. My wife, Kristen, teases me that my one sermon is, "Everything is connected." When I shared with her the picture book by Jason Gruhl and Ignazi Font that I just shared with you today, "Everything is Connected," she said, "Well, I don't know what your sermon's about, but that's perfect for you." Everything is connected. My sermon today is about generosity, and I will eventually get to hope, and I promise that, but I will start with interconnection. I took one of those personality inventory questionnaire things. The human resources department was giving them out to everybody at the community college where I was teaching at the time. It's supposed to be a team building kind of exercise or something. So I took it, and it came back, and it told me that there was one trait of mine that I held by far the most strongly, that I look at the world as interconnected. I think I could have saved them a bunch of money and just told them that. Everything is interdependent. I think one of the main reasons I took so readily to Unitarian Universalism once I was introduced to it was because you use value interdependence so highly. Just a couple of weeks ago, a study commission charged by the UUA Board of Trustees and the delegates of our last several general assemblies finished a draft of a new statement of our UU values and covenant. They had a draft already. We had looked at it for a while, and the delegates voted on it this past summer, and now this commission has incorporated all of the amendments and revisions approved by the delegates. They've cleaned up the verbiage a little bit, and they've made a new final draft, which isn't really final because congregations can still propose amendments or revisions to it. One thing I've mentioned from this pulpit before is that in addition to just words, there's an image that is part of this statement, and if you haven't seen it, here it is, Shared Unitarian Universalist Values. As it says in the statement, this image is of a chalice with an overlay of the word love over the flame, with six outstretched arms that create a circle around each of the core values and form a six-petal flower shape. Each arm is a different color, and clockwise they are interdependence, orange, equity, red, transformation, purple, pluralism, blue, generosity, green, and justice, yellow. New to this draft is additional language that says the UUA may create visual representation of the values which put love at the center and interconnect each value, and may periodically update that image. Nice to give folks a little artistic freedom. But the one thing when they take that freedom to remember, well, two things. One is love is at the center, and the second is everything is connected. Interdependence is one of the values, actually named as one of our values. We honor the interdependent web of all existence. with reverence for the great web of life, and with humility, we acknowledge our place in it. Everything is connected, and since you are one of those things in everything, you are connected. But while interdependence is named and described in this document, the value that may actually bring us into an experience of interdependence and everything is connectedness is generosity. The musician and performance artist Amanda Palmer wrote a great book I recommend to you called The Art of Asking. And it starts with a story. It goes like this. Here's Amanda Palmer. Who's got a tampon? I just got my period, I will announce loudly to nobody in particular in a women's bathroom in a San Francisco restaurant, or to a co-ed dressing room of a music festival in Prague, or to the unsuspecting gatherers in a kitchen at a party in Sydney or Munich or Cincinnati. Invariably, across the world, I have seen and heard the rustling of hands through backpacks and purses until the triumphant moment when a stranger fishes out one with a kind smile. No money is ever exchanged. The unspoken universal understanding is this. Today, it is my turn to take the tampon. Tomorrow it shall be yours. There is a constant karmic tampon circle. It also exists, I've found, with tissues, cigarettes, and ballpoint pens. I imagine she didn't start with a story about one of those because it wasn't as funny, I guess. Never thought I'd say tampon from the pulpit. There you go. When we act with generosity, generosity in giving or in receiving, we experience our interdependence. Bell Hooks says, through giving to each other, we learn how to experience mutuality. We are heading into a season in which I expect at least once or twice to experience a fairly intense and sometimes exhausting mutuality. When it snows at my apartment complex, we all have to get out there and shovel our cars out, and we help one another. We shovel each other's cars out. And then there's the dance of the cars, too, that we depend on each other about. In order to plow those parking lots, the cars need to be moved, so I got to move my car out of my spot so that it can be plowed out, but I need you to have moved your car out of your spot so that I've got someplace to move my car to. It's a big, interconnected little dance. When I move my car, I park it in another spot that's already been plowed out, and if you need it, you park in my now plowed out spot so that you can get out of the way of the plow for the next person. We depend on one another. We are part of one interconnected community, and we experience this when we practice gratitude and generosity. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality, says the new statement of UU Values. When Amanda Palmer goes on tours, performing her music for her fans, she often stays with her fans, sleeping on their couches. It's partly about saving money, but she quickly learned that it's also about mutual connection. Once, she arrived in Miami after driving from Texas, touring in a van with four other people. As we approached the address, we exchanged worried glances as we passed desolate, boarded-up houses, cars broken down on lawns, and the subtle signal that crystal meth was probably easy to score. Arriving at the house, we were welcomed by Jackie, our 18-year-old host, a small but warm and inviting home. Jackie's family were undocumented immigrants from Honduras. Her mother barely spoke English, and they made an absolute fuss over us. There were only three beds in the house, but I had already met Jackie, her mother, and her brother. "I'm confused," I said. "No confusion. In our family, the guests always sleep in the beds. We're all sleeping outside and on the couches." "We've been planning this for weeks. You should have seen our shopping adventure for vegan food for you." She looked so happy. "We're going to give you tortilla lessons at breakfast tomorrow." The next morning after the tortilla lessons, Amanda hears Jackie's mother call from the living room. And Jackie says, "Oh, my mother, she wants to give you a present." She's all excited. So Jackie's mother took me aside, Amanda says, and pressed a teeny little Bible the size of a pack of cards into my hand. And then she said, "For you. Thank you for stay here. Your music helps Jackie. You make her so happy. You help her. Thank you. Thank you." Amanda is overwhelmed by the generosity, but she realizes that the situation isn't just her simply taking from Jackie and her family. It's not about guilt. It's about opening up to a deeper kind of mutuality. They are giving each to one another, finding joy in the giving, finding joy in the receiving, connecting. Generosity can also be a way of experiencing connection even with someone who is otherwise absent from our lives, perhaps through death and perhaps through some other division or burnt bridge. The novelist Isabel Allende lost her 28-year-old daughter, holding her as she died. And yet, as Allende mourns, she says the lesson she learned was to give. Give, give, give. What is the point of having experience, knowledge, or talent if I don't give it away? Of having stories if I don't tell them to others? Of having wealth if I don't share it? It's not out of a feeling of largesse that she practices generosity. It's about connection, both to others and to her daughter, because she learned about this practice of generosity from her daughter. "It is in giving that I connect with others, with the world, and with the divine," Allende says. "It is in giving that I feel the spirit of my daughter inside me like a soft presence." Giving is about connection. And in the new statement of UU values, it's also connected to hope. Living into generosity means we cultivate a spirit of gratitude and hope. I think we need hope in order to live. And one way through to hope is through generosity. When we give, it is in recognition of relationship, out of gratitude for what has been and what is now, and it is also for the future. Our generosity is about creating possibility, building the ground for something to happen that might not have happened otherwise. It is about hope. In her book called Hope in the Dark, Rebecca Solnit says this: "It's important to say what hope is not. It is not the belief that everything was, is, or will be fine. The evidence is all around us of tremendous suffering and tremendous destruction. The hope I'm interested in is about broad perspectives and specific possibilities, ones that invite or demand that we act. It's also not a sunny, everything is getting better narrative, though it may be a counter to the everything is getting worse narrative. As Solnit understands it, hope locates itself in the premises that we don't know what will happen, and that in the spaciousness of uncertainty is room to act. When you recognize uncertainty, you recognize that you may be able to influence the outcomes, you alone or in concert with a few dozen or a few million others. Hope is an embrace of the unknown and the unknowable, an alternative to the certainty of both optimists and pessimists. Hope is an alternative to the certainty of both optimists and pessimists. Rebecca Solnit explains, optimists think it will all be fine without our involvement. Pessimists take the opposite position. Both excuse themselves from acting. It's the belief that what we do matters, even though how and when it may matter, who and what it may impact, are not things we can know beforehand. We may not, in fact, know them afterward either, but they matter all the same, and history is full of people whose influence was most powerful after they were gone. To live generously is to be open to possibility rather than to be closed, stuffed full of certainty. To live generously is to be open to the experience of wonder and gratitude. It is to live in the mystery. To live into generosity is about making space, even if that requires some self-emptying. The ancient Chinese Tao Te Ching would have us recognize, clay is molded to form a cup, yet only the space within allows the cup to hold water. Walls are joined to make a room, yet only by cutting out a door and a window can one enter the room and live there. To live with generosity is to create space for the possibility of surprise, which is one way of understanding, I think, what mystery is. The rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said, I would say about individuals, an individual dies when he ceases to be surprised. I am surprised every morning that I see the sunshine again. When I see an act of evil, I am not accommodated. I don't accommodate myself to the violence that goes on everywhere. I am still surprised. That's why I'm against it, why I can hope against it. We must learn how to be surprised, not to adjust ourselves. I am the most maladjusted person in society. In the midst of violence and evil and suffering, may we, with generous hearts, hope against it. May we lean into generosity that we might experience more how we are part of an interconnected web of life that holds us all. May we practice gratitude that we might open to more wonder and to more possibility. May our experience of wonder and possibility and mystery help us create room in our hearts where hope can live. May our living as a generous people shine with hope. And may our hopefulness enliven our generosity. May it be so.